I disgraced myself. And ensured my husband's favor will forever rest on her.
And yet, I've never seen that side of you, my daughter. I even doubted its existence.
It was an ugly thing, I regret it.
We play an ugly game. And now, for the first time, I see that you have the determination to win it.
Rhaenyra.
You see her for what she is. What the king's stubbornness has wrought.
What will he say to me?
He'll forgive you. What else can he do? Now go to him, be penitent. Plead the injury to your son. Keep a grip on your passions. And I promise you, in time, you and I together will prevail. What that rogue Aemond has done in winning Vhagar to our side. The boy was right. It's worth 1,000 times the price he paid.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The House of the Dragon with Mary and Blake. It's a podcast dedicated to The House of the Dragon on HBO, so sit back, relax, and let's talk about fire and blood. Hey everybody, how's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I think I would give up an eye for a dragon. I think I'd do it.
Good for you.
I mean, like, just going total Top Gun and being like, yeah, dude, here's my dragon. And not only is it a dragon, it's the baddest dragon there is. Yeah, man.
The biggest one.
Yeah, so if you're the biggest one, you're the baddest one.
You're the biggest one because you're the oldest one. That's the other thing you need to keep in mind, that dragons...
True.
Are bigger when they're older, they just keep growing. They're kind of like goldfish. You know that whole thing? Like if you put a goldfish, it just keeps growing.
Sure.
And keeps on going. I didn't know this. I tried to buy a goldfish for my kids. Okay. I just tried to buy one of those 15-cent goldfish. They didn't let me buy it because they said these goldfish are actually food for other animals.
Then what the hell are you trying to sell them for, then?
I said, I just want a cheap fish. I want to see if my kids could keep a fish alive. I don't want to buy one of the special ones. They said, we don't sell little. How big is your tank? I said, what do you mean it's a goldfish? They said, goldfish can grow up to like 14 inches.
Stop
it. And I said, nuh-uh, that's not true. I'm going to keep it in a small tank.
Isn't it like a salmon at that point?
I heard it only grows bigger if you give it a bigger tank. And they said, that's not true. They just keep growing like a dragon.
Wow.
So Petco, who knew that they were like such animal activists, wouldn't sell me a 15-cent fish, which is going to be eaten.
Yeah.
Like, at least it would have had a good life. And if it did get too big, let's be real, I probably would buy it a dang tank.
Right.
If it got that big in several years. But instead, I had to buy a $4 guppy.
Wait. They upsold you from a 15-cent
yes.
goldfish to a... Of course they're going to tell you that you can't buy the goldfish.
They're
going to get you a $4 guppy.
I said, I know which one I want. The one that swims the most. We pointed it out. We named it Goldie. And they said, no, we're not allowed to unless you're buying the proper size big tank.
Oh my goodness, you got jobbed.
I went from Vhagar.
Yeah.
To an egg that won't even open.
Some stupid little guppy.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Being bossed over by Petco.
Well, I still think that I would give up an eye to be riding the baddest dragon there is.
I wouldn't.
I it might be worth it.
Listen. You think that the blind spot peripheral vision you have problems in your car with mirrors is still bad? What happens if you actually have a real blind spot?
Oh, hey, look at you.
Like, good thing. Try parallel parking the biggest dragon in the world with one eye.
Mirror to mirror. Mirror to
and
mirror.
And she's old. Lord knows how blind Vhagar is.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my God, that's
probably got cataracts for days.
That's probably why she let him on. She couldn't even friggin' see him.
Well, listen, ladies and gents, if you're listening in real time, thank you so much for your patience. Mary and I went on vacation. We spent some time in Disney and Universal to watch our little lass perform. And it was amazing. She was selected to perform in Disney and for Irish step dancing. It was awesome. And we were gone for essentially 2 weeks, which is why this episode is so late. If you're listening in the future, you're like, dude, I don't care. I'm binging your show. Either way, I just wanted to say thank you for your patience and thank you for listening to us a few weeks after this episode has aired.
In the past, we've been able to podcast when we go on vacations.
Yes.
Can't podcast when you're on vacation in Disney with the 7-year-old and 9-year-old and staying in the same room.
We honestly had the best intentions to pod. I brought our equipment and everything. Like, we were going to do it. And then we realized
it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work
because you can't talk about this kind of material in front of our kids when you're sharing a hotel room.
Correct.
And secondly, we were living our best life with our kids, making amazing memories and seeing fireworks every single night.
Walking for days. Oh my God.
The Blake amount of broke steps. His shoe on the first day.
Legitimately, the whole sole of the shoe fell off of the actual shoe. I don't even know how that happens. I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought the shoes were all just one piece. Apparently not. Apparently the shoe goes on top of the rubber, and then the rubber is affixed to the shoe.
Anyway.
Well, that is that, everybody. Thank you so much again for just being patient with us and allowing us some time to enjoy our family and go on vacation. But I'm back. Mary's back. We're back. We're ready to talk about House of the Dragon. And of course, you can always find us on all of the social medias when we're around by looking at Mary and Blake, just all the things, the Twitter and Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, we're there. And don't forget to join our Facebook group. That's just Mary and Blake. You can't miss it. It is amazing. It's there for all the nerds talking not only about this show, but Rings of Power as well. And all the things that you all love, whether it is different shows, different books, different movies. It's just a place where nerds get together and nerd out with other nerds to love the things.
To the nerdeth degree.
To the nerdeth degree. You don't want to miss out on that. It's a really special place. A lot of fun. And and Mary and I are in there talking with all the members in there all the time. So don't miss out on that. And of course, go to maryandblake.com for all the different podcasts and blogs and everything that we have going on here at Mary and Blake Media. Trust me, it's a lot. And you're going to miss out unless you don't go to maryandblake.com. But before that, Mary, before we get into the rest of the show, we want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Minute with Mary.
MinuteWithMary.com is your one-stop shop for all things beauty and skincare. Now, this is the season where we want to start to get a little fancy. Okay, we've got some holidays. And I think the holiday season starts with Halloween. But if you want to look and feel fabulous for the holidays, not only do I have the highest quality makeup and skincare products, but I teach you how to use them. I teach you the right ones that are right for you to help you feel amazing. And if you have a special someone in your life who participates in wearing makeup or skincare, and you'd like to gift them something for the holiday season, I can hook you up.
She's your girl.
Okay? Like, this is like a really cool surprise. And I'm a huge believer. If you get your holiday shopping done before Halloween, you, my friend, win the trophy.
You're banana land. If you
that's
shop
me.
For Christmas.
I do.
I know. I that's why I'm saying you're banana land. You banana land.
I'm
everybody
the
else
that
does
shops
it.
In our family. You don't buy the presents. I do.
I get some presents.
No, you don't.
I get yours.
You get mine. That's it. And I have to do everyone else's. I have to do the kids. I have to do my parents. I have to do other people. It's me. I make the magic. We've already talked about it.
That's
and it's
true.
Fine.
That's true.
I'm just saying I do it early. Friends, learn from me. You do it early so that way you can listen to your holiday music, drink your hot cocoa, and watch your movies in peace.
Moms always make the magic. That's just the way that it is. They
you
always
know what
do.
I also do?
What?
I pre-wrap. I get it. I wrap it under the tree. Get it? Wrap it under tree.
That's true. The pre-wrapping is key because we've gone years where we were like, oh, crap, we didn't wrap the presents. And we were up Christmas Eve till like 3 in the morning.
Yep.
Now, if I can get you to clean as you go, now we're talking turkey.
I make the magic happen. I'm not Cinderella. I'm the godmother.
All right, you're ready to get into the show?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right, Marvin, what do you got for your mini plot recap for episode 107?
In this episode, we get to see the funeral of Lady Lana.
Yep.
And they basically drop her sarcophagus into the ocean. It's the way. It's the way of the water.
This is the way.
Rhaenyra and Daemon, they have some great uncle-niece bonding time. Mm-hmm. And Prince Aemon climbs up on Vhagar, and it's surely worth an eye. Yay! Alicent, who of course is queen, slices Rhaenyra's arm, kind of accidentally, but not really, because she's mad about her son's eye. People go crazy! And Alicent's dad's super pumped that she went cry. Lastly, Princess Rhaenyra had a really good talk after she banged her uncle, and Lana was like, oh, I'll be a better husband. I'm really going to try. And then she and Daemon say, we should just get married, except Lana needs to be dead.
Mm-hmm.
And they faux Lana's death, and he lives happily ever after.
Well, they fake it, not faux it.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a faux death.
It's a faux death. No foes were included except some street rat.
I'm on Burgundy.
And Lana lives happily ever after. And we end, of course, with lots of blood and making out with blood.
We're here. We're ready to go. Okay, so this episode was entitled Driftmark, which is, of course, where they all were for this entire episode. The entire clan, the Targaryens and the Valyrians and everybody in between was at Driftmark for the funeral and everything else. Then we have the director that was directed once again by the showrunner and A-plus director for Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, Miguel Sapochnik, who has directed The Princess and the Queen and The Heirs of the Dragon for House of the Dragon. And remember, ladies and gents, Miguel Sapochnik is departing the show after season one. He will no longer be a showrunner. He will just remain as...
Wait, so who's the director of this?
Miguel Sapochnik.
It was a guy?
It was a guy.
Knew it.
Well, what do you mean you knew it?
I'll tell you why in a moment. Okay. It's my bad.
He will be departing the show. He will remain as an executive producer, really in title only. But Ryan J. Condal, who is the co-showrunner for season one, will be taking on the duties of showrunner for season two. Mm. The writer was Kevin Lau. Now, Kevin Lau is... an HBO guy through and through. A relative newcomer to the HBO scene. He has written episodes of Lovecraft Country, which, by the way, if you have not seen it, please do. It is excellent. And he also wrote some episodes, or at least was the executive story editor of The Nevers, which is the Joss Whedon show that came out, that was last year, 2021. And then he also has written some episodes of Westworld in the latest season of Westworld. And of course, we have House of the Dragon as well. Marvin, your flame rating, what are you giving this episode, Driftmark?
4.9.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So you quite liked it then?
Really did.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm in a 4.75 range.
Yeah, I mean, we got a funeral. We got a wedding. We had sex. We had slicing eyes. I'm here. Allison loses her mind. I'm here for it.
Yep.
I'm here for everything.
What do you got for your GBG? You're good. You're bad. And you're great.
My good was badass dragon time.
What do you mean?
You know, I freaking love me some dragons.
Yes.
And seeing Aemon work that hard to get that dragon. I know I'm probably not supposed to like this kid because he's like a little Daemon, but like worse. I don't know. It was just kind of creepy.
Well, and I think he eventually, as soon as he got Vega, he is going to be a Daemon.
I mean, his balls tripled in size. The moment he sat on it. I mean, crotch irritation alone when you ride on Vega.
Sure. Got to be through the roof.
Hemorrhoid cream.
There's so much Vaseline.
No anti-chafing. Yes.
You need Vaseline for days.
But I just thought it was so fun seeing that whole thing happen, flying with her, seeing the nieces freak out. I loved everything having to do with dragons.
Sure. Okay. Agreed.
My bad is a tie. And yes, it's a tie, but like whatever. I still give this a 4.9 because it's not like wicked bad. But first off, I totally would have missed that it was Lainor, however she is named. Going off in the boat because it was too dark.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't realize what it was until I spoke with you.
Yes.
And you were like, oh, that was him. They faked his death. And I just didn't catch that. And if you watch the show with daylight, it is very difficult to see.
Yeah, we're going to have a conversation about that.
What do you mean?
No, I'm saying we're going to have to talk about that. Like,
I can only watch it sometimes in the upstairs room.
No, not you watch it in daylight.
Oh, my
hoop.
God. I thought you were like, Mary, that is it. We podcast about it and you must be in the most ideal viewing.
Well, yes, obviously. Clearly. But no, the some of the choices that were made, meaning the lighting in this episode, I think were questionable.
I will tell you.
And I want to have a conversation about that questionable decision with you.
You know, want to know what helped me?
Sure.
Is I rewatched, I actually listened to this episode with the spoken commentary. So for our friends who are hard of seeing.
Uh-huh.
So the hard of hearing, you get to have the closed captions.
Sure.
The hard of seeing, someone like tells you what happens.
Uh-huh.
Like okay. They'll be like, Blake rocks back and forth in his chair.
Yes.
But they don't say yes for Blake. Like you hear Blake, that filled in extra bits that I can't see because it's dark.
Now you got to say it right.
Doc. It's wicked doc.
It's doc down there. All right. Wicked doc.
So that was one of my bets.
From Boston.
Is that it was too dark for me to know what the heck happened. I thought Lehner was dead.
Uh-huh.
And it really hurt my feelings. But once I realized he wasn't, I was like, okay, this isn't bad. My real bad?
Okay.
Beach sex. I knew this episode was directed by a male versus when Rhaenyra had her first sex, I knew that was done by a female.
Why do you say that?
I don't think that there was proper preparation to keep sand out of the hoo-ha. Men romanticize.
What?
Yes, men romanticize sex on the beach. You want to know what women think about?
What's that?
Sand crystals stuck up there.
Oh, fair.
Okay? Do you, no.
It's got to
hurt.
Don't,
you don't want sand-covered penis.
Oh, no. I don't want sand-covered anything.
This isn't like a chocolate and nuts frozen banana. That's not fun up you. No. Imagine that, friends. Male directors.
What are we?
It's not just a banana. It's a chocolate dipped in walnuts frozen banana. You think Rhaenyra wants that? No. It's not like Damon brought his cloak of death and put it down and you see him being like, don't worry, Rhaenyra, there's going to be minimal sand insertion.
There's always money in the banana stand.
No, we're going to go to a broken down, washed ashore ship where you're going to get splinters in your butt and nuts, chocolate covered nuts.
Yep, chocolate covered nuts too.
Stuck up there too. I knew it was a man. Knew it.
Listen,
you can have beach sex, mm-hmm. but it would be a little bit different when the female's in the planning process of this, okay?
Okay, well, how would a female plan the process?
You just would have some, like, garments down to keep the sand situation a little more at bay.
Ah, fair enough.
That's not good.
Yep.
Ouch.
Mary, as your husband, I can tell you straight up right now, and I think you already know the answer, there will be no beach sex. Because I am out on sand. I'm like Anakin Skywalker. I hate sand.
Yeah.
Give me a choice to go between the pool and the ocean, I'm going to the pool 99 times.
People romanticize beach sex in movies and TV all the time. To which I want to say, listener, have you done it? Have you done it? How was it? You probably A, haven't done it, and B, if you did, didn't like it.
Ocean sex is okay. I could.
No, nope.
I could.
You want to know what you're putting up your hoo-ha? Lots of other things. See, people with penises don't have to worry about all the things
all
that are
going
to like grow up there and hide up there and scratch up there. No, no, no.
I didn't think we'd be having this kind of conversation.
That's why it's
tonight.
My bad.
All right, what's
I knew. I knew it was a man.
What's your grade?
Allison losing it. Kids beating each other up and cutting out eyes.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite part of Allison losing it?
No, I'm just saying.
Oh, just
I loved seeing it snap.
Okay. Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah.
reminded me of me, and I'll tell you about it later.
Oh, okay.
It reminded me of me.
Wow. Well, is that a professional tease, or can we just get right into
it? Fine, I'll just get into it. My dad, who will listen to this, he's probably laughing. Who knows if my dad had beach sex back in his day? Who knows, Dad? Who knows? But if he did, he's a male, so he wouldn't even thought about this.
That's right.
Anyway, Allison, you know, she's talking to her dad. The clip you played, my senior year of playing field hockey in mm-hmm. high school, I was always very timid. Mind you, I'm like a foot and a half taller than everybody else on the team because I didn't get the memo that field hockey is for short people.
Yes.
So
lots of hunching over.
Oh, total hunching over. They told me I had to run like I was sitting in a chair. That's how I ran, because they didn't make sticks long enough for me, because it's a short person sport generally. Anyway, so there I am running, and there was this foul play. So just like with soccer, you know, so one person gets to kick it in or hit it in. So this person hit the ball, and I was always so timid. I'm not a competitive person. I'm more just like fast and pass it to me and get it away from me. The person hit the field hockey ball straight into my chest. And something snapped in me. So I'd played field hockey all these years. Everyone on my team knew I was not the aggressor. I'm big, but that's all I got going for me. I'm fast.
Sure.
Look like I'm running in a chair. This person hit the ball right in my chest. I saw red. I threw my stick down, pounded my chest like a gorilla. And from that moment on, I was pissed.
You lost it.
I lost it. I became like aggressive.
You were on Mars.
To this day, I posted on Facebook 2 months ago, hey, like, what's everyone's favorite memory of me? You know, you do those funny things, like, what words do you think about me? I had posted, like, tell me a funny thing that you think about me. A girl from high school. This is over 20 years ago, and possibly close to 30 years ago now. She wrote about that day and how it's her favorite memory of me when I lost it, like Allison did.
Wow, okay. I think everybody has one of those moments where you just... Something in your brain goes nuclear, like...
Like cutting out your kid's eye? Or getting hit in the chest with a field hockey ball, which hurts! That hurts!
I'm sure that it would not tickle.
Oh, no. Not like sand in the hoo-ha.
All right, my good is the editing and the writing.
I definitely forgot my dad listened to this podcast until, you know, a minute ago.
Well, we've already gone.
We've already crossed the line.
I
know, I'm just saying, I wish I could rewind my mouth.
The good is the editing and the writing and the direction for the entire funeral scene. And what I mean by the writing is that there was very little dialogue.
Is your dad going to say that Leonor was his favorite character?
Yes, absolutely.
I hope he does.
Absolutely.
Continue. I'm going to stop talking about my dad.
That's okay. No, your dad is an honored place in this podcast.
It's very important here.
It's very important. Everybody loves him. And what's not to love, right? The editing and the writing in particular, because there was very little dialogue, everything was just looks and small nuances in people's faces, allowing actors to act. And the director, Miguel Sapochnik, being able to place people in the right positions and giving things like, what's his name there? Freaking Damon leaning up against stuff all the time, like, and Rhaenyra, the way that she moves in and out of people, having the kids move in and out of the people. And as a matter of fact, when Jace is next to Bela and her sister, like, they hold hands because of their shared grief, and everything about it just was excellent.
Yeah.
And you have to give credit to the editors for being able to put all of this together in this scene where everybody in the main cast is on this ledge in the middle of Driftmark, and you have to be able to tell where people are at all times so that the looks and the gestures and everything in between actually makes sense, and you have to edit it in a way that it translates the story from the way the director actually shot it. And you have to place certain angles in certain ways, and excellent, excellent stuff. That is a terrific scene on every level. And not only is it technically beautiful, but the story level of it is actually even better, because you get a whole brand new set of information just based off of this scene. Again, without any words, you understand that Otto Hightower is back in the fold once again as Hand to the King. We have an understanding that Harwin is dead, and that the boys understand that he is their actual father, and they're showing at least Jace is showing some consternation about this, because he would rather be with the Strongs at Harrenhal. And you can see that Viserys is really plummeting, because he is tired. You can feel his fatigue. And then it culminates in him calling Alicent Emma, which is
so good.
It's so good and so heartbreaking. And that's why it's so good, because you have an understanding of that relationship and what that does, what that means for Viserys, what that also means for Alicent, and how that is going to affect the kingdom in general. But the tension that comes out of this scene that arises and eventually pours out later on in the episode, it's all set up in the beginning portion of this episode, when we as viewers have the opportunity to move it out in and out and about the crowd in a way and in the sense that we are actually attendees of this funeral. I cannot thrust enough praise on this beginning portion of this episode. Fantastic stuff. My bad. And this is kind of what I want to have a conversation with you about, Mary, and that is, it's not that the episode was dark. I don't mind dark television. Like, you know, everyone, when we all watched Game of Thrones, everyone was all upset about the Battle of Winterfell, and it was so dark, you can't see nothing. And like, no, you can. You just got to pay attention. You got to watch. You can't just...
I needed the bloody... spoken captioning for people who can't see. No, it's not us.
Well, I think that it is.
It's the show.
If you miss
a key component that Laenor is not killed because you can't see, because the show is too dark, shame on the show. Not shame on me.
It's a fair discussion. It's a fair discussion. Now, I backed the decision when it was the Battle of Winterfell because it was clearly night out, right? And it was clearly shot with the intent of it being...
to make us feel like we were lost in the dark,
right,
and to make us feel on it.
That made complete sense to me. And that's why I never understood why people complained about the Battle of Winterfell being so dark, because that was the point. However, this is my bad in this episode. Not because it was dark, but because I thought it was done poorly. I thought, in my estimation, what they did was they shot it during the day. They shot the whole thing during the day, the night scenes. And when you want to turn day into night, there are a couple of things that you can do. Number one, you can fix it in post, and you can add digital effects and like filters to make sure that it looks like nighttime. Right. As a matter of fact, if you recall, what's the movie with Tom Hanks and Wilson and when he's talking to the beach ball?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Hold on.
You did. You watched
Tom
it
Hanks,
one day without me.
Wilson, Castaway. All the night scenes in Castaway were shot during the day. And all they did was just add digital effects and
nice
filters and everything. So that's what they did here, because you can tell from the photography stills that all of it was shot during the day. There's also some tricks that you can do to in camera where like you can change, you know, like the amount of light that's coming into the camera so it can make it look like nighttime. But the problem is, again, everything that is shown during night, and not the fact that it's dark, but the fact that it just is done in a poor fashion. There are just things that like the stars aren't showing up. And for example, like torches in the fire torches aren't glowing. It's just the light and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fire itself, and there's no glow to it. And you can tell that it's shot during the day. I don't know why they made the choice to have everything at night. I don't get it. And I don't understand what it does to serve the story to have it at night.
I mean, I appreciate that he needs to run away in the cover of darkness.
Yeah, but it's not just that. It's like when... you know, Rhaenyra and Daemon are talking and they're on the beach, and, you know, even the scenes with the kids and when they're fighting and they're walking along, and even the stuff with Vhagar when Aemon is flying on it all. I don't understand the point of what they were trying to do. I don't know why they said, okay, let's make all this happen at nighttime. Was it because maybe they thought all of this has to happen during one day? like the kids sneak out of bed? Because remember, Allison's
that's the same night.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, did they have to make the choice to be like, okay, all of this has to happen in one day?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think I support the choice.
I don't think they should have had it that dark, but yeah, I understand that they wanted it at that time.
Yeah,
it's just. Make it a little lighter, please.
And I've
got astigmatism. Okay, everything's blurry. Everything's already blurry.
Then I have a tie for my grade. And as bad as I thought that the choice was to make everything happen at night in mm-hmm. the way that they achieved the look, I loved the lighting in the conversation between Laenor and Rhaenyra. When he was telling her, "Hey, listen, I've been a bad husband," and yada yada, like the way that the two were positioned and blocked in camera, the light is pouring in on Laenor, and there's blues and oranges and reds, and you know, for a show that is again pretty dark in nature, this scene really, really stood out to me because it felt like, you know, visually, it felt like Laenor was coming to. A real choice here and finally having an understanding of his true meaning to what he was supposed to do. And that's why he's bathed in light the way that he is. And notice on the other side is Rhaenyra, who is kind of doubting all of this, still not shrouded, but there is still darkness surrounding her. Really cool stuff. However, the real great for me is, I think, the twist. That it's Laenor who is alive. Mm. And the reason why I like the twist and the reveal of it, I think there could be an argument made that, like, would it have been better if there was no reveal? Would it have been better if we were just left to the mystery of it?
No.
I think there's an argument to be made. I don't agree to it.
It would have changed my opinion of Rhaenyra.
Well, and that's why this is great for me, because in order for Rhaenyra to marry Daemon, Laenor's got to be out of the picture. And the way that the show posits it is that Rhaenyra and Daemon have Laenor killed. If that is the case, though, I think as a viewer, you're going to have a hard time rooting for Rhaenyra and Daemon as a couple, number one, and finding any kind of compassion for them as characters, because they would have just murdered this dude for the sake of murdering the dude. And you have to have a reveal and you have to have Laenor live in order for you as the viewer to have any kind of sympathy mm-hmm. for Rhaenyra and Daemon. If you don't have that reveal, then you cannot, I don't see how you can root for the two.
Agreed.
Right? Yeah. So that's my grade. I understand why people, you know, having a reveal for the sake of a reveal could, you know, not enjoy that twist, mm-hmm. but I think it's necessary for you to have sympathy for those characters. All right, you ready for the small council feedback?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
His Grace has many cares. He entrusts some small matters to us that we might lighten the load.
We are the lords of small matters here.
Lynn Freeman writes in, 5 Flames, best episode yet. The looks that all these characters were giving each other at the funeral, amazing. Was it all done in one continuous take? I would have to rewatch, but it felt like nonstop glares. We all knew that this was heading with Rhaenyra and Daemon. What started as lust has turned into love, and I'm here for it, writes Lynn. I also loved the fight scene with the kids. It was hilarious until someone lost an eye. He is going to be the one to watch. Mary was right. He will be our next villain.
I like this idea. And you know what I was thinking, Mary?
No.
After watching...
I'm not that psychic.
After watching the ceremony between Rhaenyra and Daemon, I was thinking, I kind of want to do a blood ceremony. Like, I kind of want to, like, do the whole thing a little bit.
With who?
With you, you hoop.
I would never do that.
I know you would never do it. I'm just saying.
That's so gross.
I was kind of in on it.
Well, good for you.
With like on the facial decorations.
You're just gross. You know what?
How am I gross?
You're just gross and I don't want to sleep next to you tonight. I'm afraid you're going to be cutting me. Like in my blood. Someone asked the other day on Facebook, oh, who's everyone's favorite vampire? You know, because it's October.
Yeah, sure.
And people were listening. I put none. I hate blood. That's what I really wrote.
Team Edward for life.
No, I'm now like out on you.
Claire
for a little
DeLune's
bit.
Cool.
That alien's cool.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna get.
Say it out loud.
I love Edward that much that we have a sounder for Edward. I love him that much. Okay, Mo Whitman chimes in. She says, okay, help me to process and confirm this, if this is true. At the end, Rhaenyra's husband is alive and on a boat with his hair shaved off.
Yes.
About to sail away with his lover, Sir Carl, who pretended to kill him.
Yes.
They got a charred body from somewhere to pretend it was the murdered prince.
Yes.
So the prince must have been in on the plane with Rhaenyra.
Yes.
Yes, 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 all yes.
And he's just going to have to bick his head every single day because it's not common to be walking around with silver hair.
Unless you're, you know, Unsullied or something. I don't know.
Unsullied don't get silver hair.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You're right. I'm sorry.
She's going to have to wear a lot of hats. He'll have a hat collection.
It's so many good hats. Or a nice helmet, at least. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, too. Mo asked us, okay, they just found some random body. No. Damon
killed him.
Killed some guard that was outside of the room.
Yeah.
Snapped his neck or whatever, or choked him. I don't know.
Yeah, his death robe.
Right. And
whenever he puts that on, watch out. I'm serious. He only wears it's like black leather coats in movies. If someone's wearing a black leather coat, they're obviously a bad guy. When Damon's wearing his black hooded robe,
only bad
and
stuff's
acts
happening.
Like, you know, dark and brooding Luke Skywalker bad version,
mm-hmm.
or like when he comes in to rescue Leia version.
Yes.
Yeah.
Only
watch out.
Only bad stuff's happening.
Not Jedi mind tricks. Death.
Yeah. So, yes, what he did was he killed one of the gods, and then clearly they were. Everybody was in on it because if you remember, Damon says to Sir Carl, we need you.
Yeah.
We need a quick death and we need everybody to see it.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that all the people that were in the room left to go get the guards that were dead because, or at least the guard that was outside the room because Damon killed him.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go even further, which means they could take the body, put it in the fire. And Sir Laenor goes and takes off with Sir Carl after bicking his head. So
yes.
That's how that goes. All right. We got some voicemails. You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it.
Blake, Mary, Steve Mack from Merrimack, New Hampshire. Here for you. Love the podcast. It's just the right seasoning I need to enhance this show.
Thanks, Steve.
This episode, I loved, what's his name? Aemon? The younger, Allison's younger son.
Yes.
Eyeless kid.
Just approached that dragon, got the job done.
Yep.
Flying all over the place, didn't know how to control it for a while. That was fun.
Yep.
Then he came back. I loved the kids getting in a brawl. And then one of Rhaenyra's bastards just sliced his eyeball out. That was an awesome scene.
Yes, big it fan. Was.
The older son, of course, was probably back in his room rubbing one out. So he was unavailable. But good show.
I mean, he probably was, but he was also hungover.
Oh, man, Steve, that was phenomenal. Excellent. Excellent stuff. All right, sorry. He's probably in his room rubbing one out. Good job, man.
Good episode. Now they're married. Stuff's going to happen. This is fun. Thanks for everything.
Does he mean like a baby?
What do you
Stuff's going to happen.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Stuff's happening, man.
Stuff's happening. It's like your dad. Man, a lot of stuff happened in this episode.
See? I think that's what they mean. I think he and my dad think on the same page.
Sure. All right. Ready? Let's get the next one.
Not beach sex.
Hello, guys. This is Afreen, feeling much more calm and centered this week.
Hi, Afreen.
That episode was beyond five flames. I think it was extraordinary. The first, I would say, like, throughout the beginning of the episode, building up to, obviously, the eye drama and the dragon drama, there was such a beautiful tenderness in how it was shot. I slightly wish they'd increase the exposure a bit just to make it a bit easier to see. Mm-hmm. But no, it was so beautiful. There was a lot of emotion in it. And then, oh my God, the dialogue throughout this episode was almost poetic. It was so, there was something about the whole episode that felt like a poem. I was really, really taken with it. The scene with Rhaenyra and Allison, oh my God, the emotions and tensions are gorgeous. Viserys, such a sweet dad. I'm here for him having a little bit of gumption. I'm going to keep it to a tight 90 this time, so I'm going to wrap it up. There's not enough time to talk about how great this episode was.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Though Aemon on the dragon was a really cool scene. And I'm glad he got beat up by the kids. Bye.
Mary, I wanted to actually bring up this scene here that Afrin is talking about, because I agree with her. The writing in this particular scene was stunning. When Alicent confronts
Rhaenyra.
I thought it was like, it was everything that I wanted to be. Like, this finally felt to me like we were watching Westeros. Like, well, you know what? I'll just play it and that'll be that. All right. Okay. Hold on one second. Let me bring it up here.
You've gone too far.
What have I done but what was expected of me? Forever upholding the kingdom, the family, the law. Will you flout it all to do as you please?
Alicent, let her go!
Where is duty? Where is sacrifice? It's trampled under your pretty foot again.
Release the blade, Alicent.
And now you take my son's plight. And to even that you feel entitled.
Exhausting, wasn't it? Hiding beneath the cloak of your own righteousness.
But now they see you as you are.
Like, excellent. Like, truly excellent writing. If Afrin was right, it was very poetic, and the direction in this episode, especially in this scene, rather, especially with the knife when it comes close up to Rhaenyra's eye, and even when she says people finally see you for who you are, it's through the knife and the way that it's held, and it's coming down on her, but it's canted in a way that the whole scene is off. Like, it's just perfect direction for Miguel Sapochnik in this whole battle, in this whole confrontation. I can't say enough good about it either. Like, and again, this is what I was thinking. I feel like we've turned a corner here. This would not have worked if we didn't have all of the buildup.
Agreed.
And we finally got there. This finally felt like we were in Westeros. It finally felt like we were watching a Game of Thrones style show.
Well, and what's really interesting is that probably I'm not alone in this. There have been times where I'm rooting for Alicent and other times when I'm rooting for Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
And to me, neither of them is bad. You know, I would be so upset if my kid lost an eye.
Sure.
And if nothing was being done about it, no, I wouldn't be going after another kid's eye. But, you know, you can see different aspects of where they're coming from. So, like you said, they needed all of this buildup to make this as poignant as it was.
Right. And I was going to play this scene at the top of our episode, Mary. But I didn't, because as important and as well shot and as well written as this scene was, this isn't the thing, right? This is the thing that gets us to the thing. And that is the conversation that we did play at the top of our episode. And that's the one that's held between Alicent and her father, which is exemplified when he says, what that boy Aemon did to win Vhagar to our side. When that happened, that's the beginning of the end. Because it's not about the Targaryen dynasty anymore. It's about the Hightowers and the Targaryens and who is going to come out on top. When he says on our side, that's the telltale mark. Everything's going to fall apart from here. Again, this was great, but this is the thing that gets us to the thing, which will then propel, I think, the rest of the seasons. We got one more voicemail. Here we go. Hold on, if it would play, here it is.
Hello, this is Claire from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Hey, Claire.
My comments on House of the Dragon, Episode 7.
Okay.
This was the episode I've been waiting for, and I'm giving it 5 flames. I could say so much about this episode, but given the time limits here, I'm just going to make a couple of comments.
All right.
It appears that Helena is a dreamer in the series. Last week, while she was toying with the giant centipede and Alicent was assuring Aemon that he would have a dragon someday, Helena said he'll have to close an eye. Now we know exactly what she meant. In this episode, she was chanting, or perhaps casting a spell, about Spool of Green and Spool of Black, which I think means the High Towers and Targaryens, respectively.
Yep.
Dragons of flesh, weaving dragons of thread, she goes on. And my theory on that is that Daemon and Rhaenyra are the dragons of flesh, and they have a child who is sickly or weak. Also, regarding Viserys, when he was leaving the funeral gathering, he called Alicent Emma. Although that is certainly a sign of dementia, and ask me how I know, I think it speaks to the love he had for his first wife. That is why he seems blind to the fact that Rhaes and Luke are obviously not Lannisters. Rhaena is the daughter of his beloved wife, and by extension, Rhaes and Luke are part of Emma as well. He sees, but he doesn't want to hear anyone speak ill of the people he loves so much. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks, Claire.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think that's really poignant. What you mentioned is the fact that Rhaenyra is of Emma's blood, right? Mm-hmm. So no matter what, Jace and Luke and everybody that came from Rhaenyra, that's part of Emma as well. And I actually, that's something that Mary has said to me quite often, which is if she were to die early, you know, make sure that you take care of our children the way that you take care of me because they're a part of me. Mm-hmm. And she's not wrong, right? So, but the funny thing is too, Mary, that the way that Viserys is acting is also reflective of his reign and of his kingdom because he has tried so hard to just maintain the peace that was established before him from Jaehaerys. And he's compromised in many ways. And in this case, his compromise and his inability to confront the truth for what it is leads to what will be the thing, which is the greens versus the blacks. And even Rhaenyra herself says, "You left me alone," to Daemon, "and I can't fight the greens alone." This is the first mention of greens or blacks. Mm-hmm. Really important stuff. And it's all because I think Viserys just couldn't allow the kind of it's almost like he's whistling past the graveyard. Do you agree or disagree with that notion?
I don't know. I think he's just trying his best. It's not whistling past the graveyard.
You don't think so?
Just trying, man.
All right, you ready for your dad?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here it comes. One of our most favorite segments in all of Mary and Blake Media. It's Mary's dad's time.
Hey, it's Mary's dad again, talking about episode 7, which was pretty amazing. Almost nobody died, even though they started off with the funeral. But let's see. I'm going to try to give my good, my bad, and my great.
All right.
My good is that Daemon and Rhaenyra finally got together. Those two deserve each other. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out, but I think everybody knew that they were eventually going to get together. My bad was when the little prince stole the dragon, stole Vaga from the two daughters.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty bogus, but that was also the key thing I felt in the whole episode, because mm-hmm. that's what caused the fight and the kid losing an eye and causing Alicent to try to take out an eye from Rhaenyra and just add to the mix. The great was that Laenor didn't get killed.
Yes.
He got to live again. Leaves me with two questions. Number one, why was Daemon chuckling during the funeral? And number two, who is the guy in the fireplace? I think he's going to be known as the Yule Log guy from now on. Take care.
The Yule Log guy.
Oh, yes.
You know what? I'll take that.
We eat a Yule Log.
I make the Yule Log.
I know.
It's good stuff, too.
Just don't put a dead body in it this time.
Zero.
My dad will know.
I can confirm zero dead body usage.
What's this different texture this Christmas?
It's Laenor's hair.
There you go.
That's the filling. Yeah, Mary. So let's thank you very much for calling in. My dad started.
Nobody died because you know he would have said it was his favorite person.
I know. Guaranteed. If he could call back in again and say Lanner was his favorite character, I would not be surprised.
You know, in this episode, he might have been.
Yes. Because, you know, he like came back to Rhaenyra and was like, oh, we did the
wrong thing. I really was
happy
with that conversation.
So, Mary, I wanted to mention this to you, and because, as you know, this is a Mary and Blake Media commandment, and that is bookends, bookends, bookends. And there is a spectacular bookend in this episode because it begins with a funeral and the funeral being conducted in Valyrian, and then it ends with a wedding being conducted in Valyrian. And to me, that is very special. Mm. That is very special to the characters. That is very special to the world that, you know, that we're in. And I love that I love the fact that the show can begin with essentially death and closure of life, and then end with the expansion of life and the expansion of relationships. But at the same time, the sectioning off of life, right? The sectioning off of lifestyle and what is coming for the Targaryen name because of the conflict between the Hightowers and the Targaryens, right? Are you happy that these two got married? Are you happy that Daemon and Rhaenyra finally said, okay, we're doing it?
Yeah, I am. I really think that this gives her insurance because, just like she said, they can't stop us together. And now we're going to have doubly, you know, let's just integrate our forces even more. Our kids like each other. They fought on the same side already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for it. And they both pull at Viserys' heartstrings.
What do you mean?
In different ways. They know that Viserys has the power, obviously. He's the one that placed Rhaenyra as the heir. So combined, I mean, it's his brother and his daughter.
Yeah. Good point. I have a little bit of a hot take for you.
I do love how they made that idea. Okay, we're going to burn somebody or foe kill somebody.
Yes.
And then they're always going to wonder what else we'd be capable of. And I loved that because I don't think people imagine Rhaenyra being super capable of bad things, but being married to Daemon.
I think both of them can
combine. They're both going to get black cloaks.
Yes. The black cloak usage will go up at least 50%.
Yep.
What do you think about the show keeping you in the dark about the twist itself? Like, because I think, again, an argument can be made that when this whole plot is conceived, we are in the perspective of Rhaenyra, right? Because we...
Ever since she was giving birth, like, the older version of Rhaenyra, I agree. We have been, as viewers, told to be on Rhaenyra's team.
Yeah, but we're also in her perspective. Like, there's a difference there, right? So, like, there's a difference between being Team Rhaenyra, but also staying within her perspective. Like, we're following the footsteps of the show through Rhaenyra.
But that, I think it's one and the same thing. I think it's the show telling you this is whose side you kind of want to be on.
Okay, fair enough. Regardless, right? Irrespective of that, is it fair for the show to withhold the information of the plot from you, even though you're in Rhaenyra's perspective this entire time?
Yes.
Why do you say that?
It made it so interesting for me because we had that bonding moment with Rhaenyra and Laenor and him saying, I'm going to do my best and I'm so upset with the gods for making me this way. And she says, you know, I love that you're this way. Be proud of who you are. And we really get this beautiful bonding moment. So then we as viewers are ripped from that when we think that she's had him killed and she's marrying Daemon. And we're just like, oh my gosh, I was cheering for you for the past two episodes. I don't know how I feel. Like we as viewers had the rug pulled out from underneath us. And to me, it was like a fun roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
So I think had we known all along we wouldn't have gone on that short ride. Because mind you, that all happens later. It's sure. not like the entire episode were kept in the dark about it. Mm-hmm. It's just towards, you know, the latter half, latter third, when we think Laner's dead. Mm-hmm. So I liked it.
There's also this great shot too, Mary, of Rhaenyra and Daemon speaking to each other about their, what could be, relationship. And when she they talk about being together, and Rhaenyra says, you know, we're fire and the Valyrians are water and we were always meant to burn together. And she says it in Valyrian. But the great thing is, as they're having this conversation, the ship that the Hightowers and the king and everybody else that came to Driftmark, it's leaving. It's on its way. And it's in the background as these two are having this conversation. So you can see the visual language is telling you these two are now on their own. And these two are going their own direction, regardless if they're on Driftmark, because the Valyrians are water. Regardless of whatever King Viserys says, and then all of the people that he surrounded himself with in King's Landing, they're going to go. These two, Daemon and Rhaenyra, are going back to Dragonstone, and they're going to make their world. Mm-hmm. Really interesting stuff there. One other thing too that I really liked is the shot, as we have mentioned earlier, the shot of the dagger, cat's paw, against Rhaenyra's eye. What did you make of that scene? Does that creep you out just as much as it creeps me out sometimes? No.
I think I was more creeped out with the eye issue with Aaron Deere in Rings of Power.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
That eye one bothered me more. This one did not bother me.
Yeah.
I didn't picture anybody else losing an eye.
I
didn't think it was going to be a two-eyed episode.
I loved this shot because the dagger was set up against the fire, right? And from what we know, the dagger will reveal the prophecy of the prince that was promised when it's put into flame, right? But there's also this other part too here where Rhaenyra didn't move an ounce, and it felt like she didn't move 1 ounce because that dagger is reflective of the Targaryen line. Mm-hmm. That dagger, it's almost as if the dagger won't hurt her. Mm-hmm. Because it's through her that the prince that is promised must come. And it's almost like Alicent is the Hightower that's holding it, and you can't do anything to me. What do you think about that?
I more saw it as Rhaenyra's bravery. That you can cut me, you can come at me, but I'm not going to back down.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep, fair enough.
That's how I took it.
Fair enough. Anything else that you want to talk about in this episode, Mary?
Yes, there are a couple of things. Who prays to trees and who prays to blood?
What do you mean?
Because we've seen in Game of Thrones before different weddings.
Yes.
And now we're seeing this one with a whole bunch of blood on a beach, but no prayer tree.
Right. The tree is for the old gods.
And the Targaryens don't pray to the old gods?
They don't pray. You know what? Let me Google that right now as we're on the line.
Alicent does. Alicent loves that tree. Because we would see her, you know, going to the back area. But Rhaenyra used to read under it. So I thought maybe she was a tree person too.
All right. Okay. So here it is. I got the answer for you, Mary, about the Targaryens.
Maybe they're like a reformed tree worshiper person. I know it's not actually the trees, but you know what I mean.
Where is my answer here? I had an answer.
While you do that.
Yes.
Viserys saying, "I'm going to bed, Emma." When I watched it the second time, I kind of hoped he did that on purpose. Like, I kind of hope that he's old, but he's sometimes with it, but he gets to play little jokes on other people because he can and he can get away with it. And I'm just going to call her something to tell her that I'm not happy with her. You know, like, I know this is going to hurt her feelings. I'm just going to say it.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever.
I kind of liked that.
I you know what? I freaking hate Reddit. Reddit is the worst. It's so, you can't even, Okay. That's where I'm trying to find the damn answer to the question here.
Don't worry. I'm not even worried about it. All right. I mean, can we just address it in the next episode at this point?
No, I gotta know goodness. Now. I gotta know now.
I loved when Laenor said I should have been there when he comes and he checks in, of course, on Rhaenyra, and she says that should be our house motto.
Yeah.
I should have been there. What happened to his dragon? Laenor's dragon.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Who will take on his dragon?
Yeah. Or does it because he's not dead? Like, does his daughter, who doesn't have a dragon, does she get to have that one?
Well, I mean, she has to earn the dragon the way that obviously Aemond earned.
But, like, does it just stay there and think that he's dead and just mourns along with him and allows a new rider? Or is it going to fly around looking for essentially the province town of Westeros?
That's fair.
I'm just interested to see what ends up happening. Because, of course, they make that big thing when, like, all the three dragons fly off together.
Mm-hmm.
So I just don't know where his dragon is.
All right. I have an answer here for you, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
The Targaryens believe in the Valyrian religion because they're from old Valyria.
Okay.
A polytheistic religion was practiced by the Valyrians. Its pantheons of deities included Balerion, Vhagar, Meraxes, and Syrax. Which is why,
they
named the dragons those names. Although the dragon lords themselves worshipped these gods, they were highly tolerant of other faiths, and thus the Valyrian freehold was very religiously diverse.
Okay.
After the doom of Valyria, the religion continued because many of the old blood that dwelled of the Black Wall of Atlantis kept the worship of the Valyrian gods. So
they have different gods.
They have different gods.
Okay.
Correct. So the Valyrians have their gods, mm-hmm. and then we have the old gods that were brought on. Okay,
with the tree.
For the tree, and then we have the new gods, which is the
fire.
Mother.
Are new.
Those are the new gods.
Oh man!
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that's what we got.
Okay. Very confused, but okay.
Okay.
Speaking of that wedding ceremony with the blood situation, how awkward must it have been for the children? Like, Jace at least knows that his dad was Sir Harwin and that he just passed away and he can't mourn him.
Yes.
The daughter's mother also just passed away and had their funeral potentially just the day before.
Right.
You know, for talking timing. And now here are both of their parents / their aunt and uncle making out with blood. Maybe 2-3 days after their parents were killed.
It's kind of hot. I'm not going to lie.
You're disgusting. Once again, sleep on the couch. When Alicent does have that dagger, and she's like, Sir Criston, you're on my team.
Oh.
You're sworn to me.
Oh, dude. I thought you could see that Sir Criston was fighting this.
Oh, my gosh. He was like, girl, don't out me like that.
Right. And he even does say, as your sworn protector.
Yeah,
like
he mumbles that. He's like, please, I'm not going to take out a kid's eye.
Right. Oh, that was.
And then Sir Harold looks around like, what do you mean you're her sworn protector?
Right.
This guy's got some weird situation going on.
And there's also this great scene, too, where Daemon, once Sir Criston starts to enter the fray because Alicent has attacked.
Daemon becomes Rhaenyra, a wall.
Daemon sees what's going on. And he stops leaning against. I love it. It reminds me of Tom Riddle in Chamber of Secrets.
You're a wizard, Harry.
When he's leaning against the pillar, and Harry's like, "Go get my wand, or give me my wand." And Tom Riddle hashtag spoilers. And Tom Riddle says, "No, you're not going to need it." And he just leans up against the pillar. That's what I think about Daemon.
Oh, see, I take it as a different way that he's going to break the fourth wall and then he's just observing along with us. And every once in my head, I might turn around and be like, this is awkward, isn't it?
Do you see what's happening?
Like, he's got his popcorn along with us. He's probably sitting there being like, this episode's totally going to be a Five Flames.
But I love the fact that he's leaning and then he gets up and he stops. It literally stops Sir Criston in his tracks. And it just shows you how formidable Daemon really is.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Sir Criston defeated him in the tourney however many years ago. The fact that Daemon could do that to Sir Criston, big time balls. Almost as big as balls as Aemond does when he goes and gets Vhagar. That kid's going to have to carry his balls around in a wheelbarrow.
After he gets that dragon, though, when he's being beat up, I loved that the nieces of Rhaenyra, Bela and Rhaena, are there. And they're throwing punches because I just think it's really interesting that now that their houses are united because their parents get married, that these kids have been on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
you know, they're not necessarily in line to earn the throne per se, but it's been interesting to see that they are going to fight with Jason Luke.
Sure.
So I really, really liked that. And then we got to keep an eye on Allison's weird daughter, Helena.
Yeah.
Because last episode, she had that bug and she said, he's going to have to close an eye. You know, when he was talking about, why don't I have a dragon? And obviously that came true. And she was muttering other stuff about threads and dragons and stuff under her breath.
I think it was Claire, one of the callers, that mentioned this, that she believes that that what's her name?
Helena.
Helena is a dreamer. And I kind of agree.
Yeah, I would 100% be down for it.
Yep. All right. Anything else in this episode that you'd like to talk about, my love?
No.
We're good?
Yes.
All right. Who you're rooting for and who's the bad guy?
You go first.
Oh, man. This is a hard one, Mary, because I want to say that Otto Hightower is the bad guy, but I don't know if he is, because he's just trying to do what's best for his family, and I can't get on him for that. But is what's best for his family what is best for the realm? That's the question, Mary, and I'm going to ask you that. Is what's best for his family best for the realm?
If his first grandson wasn't an idiot, yes.
If he wasn't out there getting hammered.
Yes.
The way that Otto Hightower just gives this kid a kick. Oh, yeah. That was great stuff.
So that's what I would say. I would say if he had a more intelligent grandson, then yes. I would say it would be better for the realm just because of the realm's issue with having female leadership.
But here's what I'm going to say. You might want to get on me for this, but I think the real bad guy here, Aemond.
I
think that guy, you know what? He's going to be problems.
You know what he is?
What?
He's a Targaryen.
What do you mean?
He's got the crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's got the crazy.
Super powerful. He's got the crazy Targaryen.
Yeah. Like he is.
Like his brother. He's got the Viserys Targaryen. Like, we're just along for the ride. Take me on a lazy river. I don't even need a dragon.
Correct.
But Aemond?
Aemond is like Daemon, but I think...
But worse.
Worse now. Yeah. Now that he has Vhagar, it's going to be a thing.
I agree. That's who I'm afraid of.
All right. And the good guy, who I'm rooting for, I'm kind of rooting... Yeah. You know what? Mm-hmm. I'm kind of rooting for Rhaenyra now.
Yep.
I think I'm on Rhaenyra's team.
Yep. Guess what?
What?
We're twinsies.
Really?
The only other thing that I would do to change it is I'm saying Aemond's my definite bad number one, but my bad number two is actually Alicent.
Really?
Yeah, she's going in a downward spiral and I just would not trust her. Like, I don't trust her brain at this point because she has ideas of what's right and what's wrong, except when she expresses, oh no, I think that was wrong, her dad or Kristen Cole, whoever, they're just like, no, that was good. So all the good things that we like about Alicent, she comes into question. I think that she's just not going to make wise choices.
I think she's got an unchecked case of serious postpartum depression.
I mean, it's more than that, Blake.
Oh, no, I know, but that it's grown into more. Like, because you saw how alone she was in the castle and the baby depression. Crying and the whole thing.
I wouldn't even like say it's postpartum. It's not.
Well, no, it was, and then it developed, and then it's gone into banana land.
Yeah, I just think that, listen, nobody should be in that kind of solitude.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so you're right, Mary. I think she's gone crazy town here. Yeah. She's especially gone crazy town because she's just swiping at Rhaenyra, asking for a kid's eye. Yep. Like,
I love how her dad's like, it's okay. Viserys will probably forget. I mean, he called you Emma.
Yeah, so, right. So don't worry about it. Just,
put a little blankie on him. Give him his binky.
Warm up some milk.
Yeah, rub him in his milk bath.
Put him to bed.
Night, night.
All right, you ready to close out the show?
Yes.
Let's do it. You're right. We didn't do hot take.
I want a hot take.
All right. Well, what do you got for hot take?
Laenor's going to come back.
Really?
He's going to come back in the future, though. Not like season 1, 2, 3, maybe even 4. I think Laenor's going to come back and help his family.
Interesting. I kind of like this idea.
Thanks. Because he's not like dead. He has to have a purpose. Yeah. And it may be like the Last Kingdom with that friggin' Uhtred, son of Uhtred, whatever is. What was the second kid's name?
Osbert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Osbert that shows up in the finale. The
hashtag spoilers.
Like, where's this kid been for all these seasons? I think that's going to be Laenor.
Fair enough. Oh, you know, I got a hot take too.
Like after his mom's dead, because then it won't freak out his mom. And she'll be like, is this my son's ghost?
Yeah.
I want him to come back and like save his daughters.
Oh, good. I like this. I like this
swooping
hot take.
Swooping in on his dragon.
I like it because the dragon knows that he ain't dead.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm in.
Thanks.
Totally in. I have a hot take. The Corlys talks to Luke about him inheriting the
Driftwood.
The Driftmark.
Yeah.
And that he would be the Lord of Tides.
Yes.
And then Luke says, well, I'm only going to be that if everybody's dead.
Yeah, he says, no thanks, I'll pass.
However,
yeah.
Like I said about the Stepstones, when they were like, oh, the crab feet, it was just like this blink and you miss it thing, and everyone kind of underplayed it. And this is a thing that's coming up. It's a guarantee that this is going to happen either by the end of this season. There's going to be some issue that happens.
Well, someone has to take it because now Laenor's gone.
Right, but Corlys is still alive.
Yeah.
Right, so nobody, the line of succession is still Corlys, and then it goes to
Luke.
To Luke or whoever, right?
Okay.
But this is going to be a thing. Because there's, again, another Merry and Blake media commitment. Don't introduce something unless it has a specific purpose. There always needs to be a reason. If there isn't a reason for what you're saying or what you're showing, then it shouldn't be in your show. The same thing here. They are bringing this up for a reason. And my sense is that this will probably be something that happens in the finale or close to the finale, where it's like Corlys is dead and this is going to throw all of – this will be the catalyst that starts the whole civil war between the Targaryens. This will be the thing. So I just think that's going to be a thing. All right. You ready to finally close the show? Now we can do it?
Yeah.
Let's do it. No, you're right. I screwed it up. We got a system here. What did you say?
Dragon. His dragon sea smoke.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be so proud of myself.
That would be really cool. I'm not going to lie. Swooping back in on Sea Smoke. Like Sea Smoke disappears.
Yes.
Where did Sea Smoke go? I don't know. Where'd he go?
They need to address the Sea Smoke thing. They made such a big deal out of Vhagar being stolen and the girls wondering. The girls are looking for that dragon. It's at kids on Christmas Eve. We know we're supposed to get presents.
Yes.
Okay? And if, you know, okay, Dad's gone.
Here's the thing
Uncle's
I want to know.
Gone.
I want to know from all the listeners. Do they allow their kids to open one present on Christmas Eve? Because I'm of the opinion that you should not allow your kids to open up a present on Christmas Eve.
Well, some cultures, they open all their presents on Christmas
Eve. I know, but we're talking about our culture here, all right?
Like, our culture doesn't mean anything. We're like our own made-up culture.
Well, I'm saying in
our household.
In your household, if it's not already an established thing, like some cultures just open up the presents on Christmas Eve. If you traditionally open your presents on Christmas Day.
Morning.
Christmas morning, do you allow your kids one present Christmas Eve?
My parents because would to shut us up.
Our kids have been like saying this, like we should open one present, blah, 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 blah.
It's because they look at it since Halloween.
That's a good point.
Bookends.
Mary and Blake Media Commandment. You're good job, fun. Mary. That's why you're a professional right there. All right, so everybody, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to us. Mary, where can all of our listeners find us?
You can find us at maryandblake.com. We're also super active on YouTube and Facebook. We are also on Twitter and, I meant Instagram and Facebook.
Yes.
But we're also on YouTube and Twitter. But most importantly, if you are listening to this podcast outside of Apple Podcasts, know that the Apple Podcast review place means a lot.
Yes.
Because here's the scoop poop. There have been people who've been podcasting about Game of Thrones since before the White Walkers even walked. And we want this podcast to be found by other people. So what we need is a flood of comments on the Apple Podcast app. Written comments. Don't just throw some stars up there. Write those comments. Blake and I honestly read them all. And they fill our heart with joy, unless they make me cry. Thank you. So we just want to... Blake's pulling one up right now.
Yeah, I want to read one of the latest comments. Comes from iPark15. They say, Mary and Blake are my favorite podcasters. They add to my enjoyment of the show, and I look forward to listening to their thoughts every single week. I get so much joy from listening and love how relatable the conversations are. Thank you for all of the work you both put in. It truly adds joy to my life every week. Well, iPark15, you add joy to our lives. And I will say this, listener, if Mary and I do add joy to your life like we do for iPark15, please consider going to jointhenerdclan.com and becoming a member there, because it is our community. It is the community to be in. And it helps support Mary and Blake Media, this mom and pop shop podcast company that has risen from nowhere and become what it is today because of listeners like you and our members at jointhenerdclan.com. Thank you so much. So do consider becoming a member there.
For as little as $2 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee.
You're
going
to get Christmas presents from... Yeah. Maybe you can even open it up on Christmas Eve if you'd like. It's entirely up to you.
Maybe on the 12th day of Christmas.
But
maybe
only
not even Christmas. Maybe you just do it on December 1st or on Yule.
Sure.
Why not?
Because
do you get a human Yule log is the question.
full of Laner's hair.
It wasn't Laner, but maybe he threw his hair in there.
Yeah, you never know.
If he was conscious about the birds, he would have just given it to the birds. That's what you're supposed to do with your cut hair. Birds could use that for their nests.
Wait, you're supposed to take your hair and put it outside so birds can use it for their nests?
That's what I do.
No, you leave it in the bathtub.
No, when I would have my hair cut.
Uh-huh. What, you would ask for the hair?
No, my mom would cut my hair outside.
Oh,
and would say that it was for the birds to make
I thought
nests.
You went to like the to a salon and said, give me the hair that you cut so I could give it to the birds.
No. I'm not that weird.
That's Malva weird.
That is.
That's a good one for you Outlander nerds. All right. You know what? Our music ran out, so that's that.
My name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Check out our